Across the U.S., many families are facing growing uncertainty about how they'll keep food on the table. More than 13 million people are estimated to be food insecure, and experts warn that new federal policies could make it even harder for families to get enough to eat. Today, the podcast is breaking down what those policies look like. Joining the podcast now is Kyle Ross, a policy analyst at the Center for American Progress. Kyle, thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
So groceries are extremely expensive right now. In fact, about half of Americans say this is a major source of stress in their life. So to kick things off, can you walk through some of the policy factors that are driving this sticker shock?
Yeah, so the most notable policy for the past couple of months and continues to be notable have been the constant back and forth action on tariffs. So you're looking at things ranging from bananas, which have been up 8% since January, coffee, which has been up 30% since January, largely a lot of things that have difficulty growing or can't be grown in the United States were subject to these additional tariffs and were seen to, at least in part, drive some prices higher.
You mentioned bananas and coffee. What other types of goods are getting hit the hardest from these tariffs?
One notable one also is beef, which, of course, the United States also has a long history of producing, but supply from U.S.-grown beef in particular has really been on the downslide for a while. So there's been extra emphasis on trying to import more beef from partners across the world, and that has contributed, as they're being subjected to tariffs, to higher beef costs.
So along with tariffs, SNAP benefits have also been making headlines, especially after the Trump administration became the first to withhold these benefits during a government shutdown. So although those payments are now expected to go out, a huge number of people may still lose assistance altogether in the coming years. Can you explain how access to SNAP is becoming more restricted and what's exactly behind those changes?
Yes, so this goes back to earlier in the summer with the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill Act, which will have long-running consequences for folks that have been relying on SNAP going forward. It has been estimated at around $187 billion in cuts to the program, SNAP alone, which is nearly 20%. It's the largest cut the program has faced in its entire history. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office actually estimated that even just one of the provisions in the bill that cuts SNAP, just one of the cuts, which adds extra administrative burdens to making applying for SNAP more confusing and frustrating, will actually reduce SNAP participation by 2.4 million people in a typical month alone. And that's just one avenue. There's a whole really unprecedented separate avenue of really concerning cuts where there's requiring states to start paying for a share of SNAP benefits for the first time. Basically, if states find they can't afford this new share, this new cost, which can be particularly likely during economic downturns like recessions, they may be forced to cut benefits for everybody or even leave the SNAP program entirely. So there's really kind of a variety of ways that the folks are going to be getting hit over the next couple of years as these changes kind of go into effect.
So amid these high grocery prices and restricted access to nutrition assistance programs, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced a pretty abrupt end to the annual food security survey. What do you think is behind this move?
Put simply, they are trying to cover up the harm they're doing by making millions of families go hungry. This survey that you're referring to was a go-to source for measuring how accessible food was for Americans. The latest data found that there were 47 million people that were food insecure. You could imagine what the largest cuts to SNAP in history and massive tariffs will do to that number. And now you'll have to imagine that, because the administration does not want to release numbers that reflect poorly upon itself. For instance, just look a couple of months ago, what happened when there was a really bad jobs report that came out from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and the administration immediately cut the commissioner of that agency. They do not want to release data that looks poorly upon the administration. And this is yet another example of that. As you'll see, these provisions of SNAP cuts going into effect, likely, surely increasing hunger. They don't want to put out numbers that say that.
So, looking at this all together with high prices, tighter nutrition assistance, and fewer tools to track hunger, what's your outlook on how food insecurity will impact families in the years ahead?
The way things are looking do not bode well for access to food and even affordability concerns more broadly in general. People will have less access to food. Their health care costs are also rising due to Medicaid cuts and the Affordable Care Act credits expiring, and tariffs remain kind of in a constant state of flux. There's no indication the administration has any plans that will actually bring costs down for people, but we have seen plenty of evidence that hunger and poverty could spike.
With rising costs across the table and tightened access to nutrition assistance programs, a looming hunger crisis is threatening families across the nation. Crystal Fitzsimons, president of the Food Resource and Action Center, has more. Well, Crystal, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Given upcoming SNAP cuts, along with other policies targeted at nutrition assistance programs that we've seen this year, can you talk a bit about what your outlook is on food insecurity right now?
The cuts to SNAP in the latest budget reconciliation law, known as HR1, are going to be devastating. These cuts are coming at a time when food at home prices have been significantly increasing, and it's going to erode the purchasing power of every SNAP dollar. And it's going to be devastating and have a cascading impact on the child nutrition programs as well and access to that. And so for kids, it's really going to make them hungry at home and at school. We know that food inflation is a massive challenge for all Americans, but it disproportionately hits our lowest income neighbors who are already spending around 30% of their household income on food compared to the national average, which is about 13%.
What other populations do you think are going to hurt the most from these policies?
So the SNAP program serves 42 million people across the country, and the vast majority of them are kids, older adults, people with disabilities, and it even serves over a million veterans who served our country. So it is a broad group of people who rely on that program, and SNAP is our most effective and impactful anti-hunger program that we have in this country. And so anything that cuts benefits, and the cuts will cause some people to lose all their benefits, and it will cause others to lose some of their benefits. Any cuts to those benefits will have a negative impact on hunger.
So, as you said, children are a key portion of SNAP recipients. They cover about one third of all recipients on the program. So, that means potentially millions of children might lose out on access to healthy food and nutrition. Can you talk a bit about what that will mean for growing children's health?
We know that food insecurity has a negative impact on kids' health. They're less likely to be in school. They're more likely to be absent and tardy. They're more likely to be sick and experience chronic illnesses. And we also know that the flip side is that kids who participate in school meals, who receive WIC, who participate in SNAP, are actually healthier and have the nutrition they need to thrive.
And what about older adults who also represent a significant portion of recipients?
Older adults can really struggle because they're on fixed incomes. They often have high medicine costs or high healthcare costs, and then they are also leaning into SNAP. So cuts to SNAP have a negative impact. One of the things that the budget reconciliation law does is that it applies time limits to older adults, and that is going to have a dramatically negative impact on those people. They're going to lose access to SNAP. And time limits and work requirements really do nothing to increase long-term employment. They really do cause people to just lose benefits and then to lose access to the nutrition they need.
So, right now we see a lot of policies that will most likely have a negative impact on hunger. But can you talk a bit about where we have seen policy effectively tackle hunger in the past?
Yeah, so there's so many to choose from during the pandemic. During the pandemic, we really saw the federal government act and Congress act. And what they did was they really expanded the programs that support low-income families and people. And so the child tax credit was expanded and refundable. And we saw that decrease childhood poverty significantly. We also saw Congress create the pandemic EBT program, which was designed to provide resources to families when they lose access to school meals. And that had a dramatic impact in reducing hunger as well. And now we have the summer EBT program, which steps in during the summer. We also saw increase in SNAP benefit allotments, and families receiving higher benefits and SNAP actually have an easier time keeping hunger at bay. And the last thing I would lift up during the pandemic is healthy school meals for all. So schools across the country were able to offer free meals to all their students at no charge. And we saw that really a win-win-win. It was a win for families because it alleviated their household food budget. It was a win for kids because they were able to access the food they needed to learn. And it was a win for schools because schools were able to provide kids the nutrition they needed and kids were able to focus in class.
So finally, what can public health workers and advocates do ahead of this looming hunger crisis?
Well, so there's two things that I think public health should do and step in on. First is to advocate to reverse these changes on SNAP. There is absolutely no reason why Congress cannot go in a different direction. And we actually have been working with a number of Hill offices on introducing a bill that would reverse these cuts called the Restoring Food Security for Farmers and Families Act. And that would reverse all of these cuts. And there's no reason why Congress can't do that. Legislators should take every opportunity to reverse these cuts. And public health should be advocating to support that. The other thing that we're focused on is, in lieu of all of the cuts being reversed, we are focused on mitigating the harm. And so there are lots of things that states can do to make sure that the impact is not as strong, to make sure that there's clear communications out to people who are impacted by time limits, to make sure that states actually make really good decisions as they move forward in some of these choices and don't curtail access to benefits, but really focusing on what's happening on the state level as well, because a lot of the impact and a lot of decisions are going to be made at the state level.
To read more on why experts are predicting a new surge in poverty, check out the November-December issue of The Nation's Health, available online now.